Look at a traditional high-density resort hotel. I mean,
Sure.
if you really think about it, it functions almost exactly like a legacy index fund.
Right, it's massive and slow.
Exactly. It requires immense upfront capital. It relies on this broad, generalized market volume to generate returns. And, it moves incredibly slowly. But the macroeconomic landscape of travel is shifting right under our feet. And as a sophisticated investor, you have to pay attention to that.
You really do,
Yeah.
because we are witnessing a profound structural realignment in the hospitality sector. There is this definitive, measurable pivot away from those monolithic high-density structures.
Yeah, consumers are just exhausted by them.
They are. The modern consumer is actively seeking temporary disconnection. We're
Right?
placing a huge premium on spatial exclusivity, and authentic integration with nature. It's really a fundamental transition from an economy of extraction.
Where you go to a mega resort just to consume endless amenities.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Moving from that to an economy of experience where the natural environment itself is actually the primary value driver.
So, if you're evaluating this evolving experience economy, you are obviously looking for where the alpha is. And today, we are bringing you a deep dive into an asset designed to capture that exact shift.
Right, we're looking at something very specific today.
We are examining a preliminary hospitality feasibility and strategic framework for a project called El Shante. This is a boutique experiential hospitality project located down in Jalisco, Mexico. And our objective today is to really evaluate the institutional viability of this asset.
Which means breaking down the regional intelligence, the physical concept, the financial modeling, and of course, the disciplined growth strategy behind it.
Exactly. But to understand why this specific asset makes sense, we have to start with the hard regional tourism data.
Yeah, you have to ground it in the numbers. We are evaluating a project positioned within the Ribera to Chapala tourism corridor that's strategically located just south of the Guadalajara metropolitan area.
And the macro data for that region is undeniably robust. I mean, looking at the recent metrics, the state of Jalisco received approximately 33.9 million visitors.
Which is a solid 3% growth curve, right?
Yeah, exactly 3%. And that volume generated a $4.25 billion economic impact. Plus, you have 25.6 million total airport passengers moving through the state.
Right.
And when you look at the statewide hotel occupancy levels, they are currently monitored at around 58%, with Guadalajara specifically running slightly hotter at 62%.
So those figures establish the baseline economic velocity of the region. But what demands closer attention is the specific behavior driving those numbers in the Chapala corridor.
Right, because it's not just corporate travel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're not looking at transient corporate room night generation here. The data reveals a market driven heavily by weekend leisure demand, drive to tourism, and wellness-oriented short stays.
Yep.
El Chante is designed to participate directly in the high-growth experiential lodging, glamping, and boutique hospitality sector within that specific ecosystem.
Wait, let me push back on that for a second. Because 33.9 million visitors is a staggering statewide figure. But let's be realistic about where that traffic actually goes. A massive percentage of that volume is undeniably absorbed by the coastal mega resorts in Puerto Vallarta.
Right, which runs at a very high occupancy.
Yeah. So is there truly a proven, observable market for a quiet lakefront retreat inland in the Chapala corridor? Or is this essentially an isolated, speculative bet?
No, it's a vital distinction, and the regional tourism indicators address it directly. Chapala is officially recognized by Jalisco's monitoring framework as a primary lakefront destination. I mean, it is the largest lake in Mexico.
It's true.
So the demand generators are not speculative at all. They're deeply established. You have millions of residents in the Guadalajara metropolitan area who view this corridor as their primary release valve.
Ah, I see. So the demand comes from regional weekend escapes and wellness retreats. Yeah.
Exactly. Romantic getaways, short nature immersions. And when you analyze the public benchmarking from online travel agencies, so platforms like Airbnb and Booking.com, you see highly active, observable pricing behavior for cabins, domes, and wellness spas right in this corridor. The asset benefits from established, recurring regional drive to demand.
Which is much safer than relying on the volatility of long-haul international flight traffic, right?
Precisely. It's much more stable.
Okay, so the regional demand is undeniable. You have millions of urban residents driving down that corridor looking for an escape. But capturing that demand is a completely different discipline.
It absolutely is.
If these travelers are specifically avoiding massive, crowded resorts, what exactly does the physical space have to look like to get them to book?
Well, the defining characteristic of the physical product here is discipline. El Chante operates under a strict experience-first philosophy. It is explicitly structured as a low-density boutique hospitality retreat.
And the physical execution here is really fascinating to me. The project integrates an existing main house and pool with new, highly experiential glamping units.
Right, specifically things like geodesic domes or luxury safari tents.
Yeah, and the focus is entirely on nature immersion, privacy, and highly controlled circulation areas. They are intentionally avoiding the temptation to just overbuild.
Right, because this is intentionally not designed as a massive resort development. Forcing aggressive, large-scale development introduces immense operational risk and capital pressure.
It's a huge burden.
It is. So by taking the existing luxury infrastructure of the main house and pool and just augmenting it with low-density glamping units, the project creates an immediate experiential premium. You know, you are offering the guest the raw aesthetic appeal of sleeping in nature, but anchored by the reliability of established high-end amenities.
If I can use a technology framework to explain this, this is effectively a minimum viable product, or MVP, strategy applied to commercial real estate.
Oh, that's a great way to frame it.
Yeah. I mean, in the tech world, instead of spending 5 years and $50 million building a massive software platform and praying the market eventually shows up, you launch a highly polished core product. You validate the market demand. You prove your unit economics. And only then do you scale.
Right.
El Chante utilizes a phased hospitality activation strategy that does exactly that. It focuses on disciplined capital deployment, operational learning, and scalable growth.
That parallel is entirely accurate. In institutional real estate development, carrying immense construction debt before the market has even validated your average daily rate, your ADR, is exactly how yields get destroyed.
It's a trap so many developers fall into.
Exactly. This phased approach isolates that risk. It focuses on disciplined capital deployment. You are actively testing the market's pricing tolerance and refining the guest experience while maintaining minimal initial capital exposure.
Let's translate that minimal capital exposure into the actual financial modeling. And I want to be very clear for you, the listener, that we are discussing analytical models here. These are projected frameworks, not guaranteed returns.
Right. Standard institutional disclaimer.
Of course. But when you examine the efficiency of the capital structure here, the leverage is incredibly compelling. The modeled initial activation investment to get this project generating revenue is approximately $63,000 USD.
Which is an exceptionally lean capital injection for a commercial hospitality asset.
It really is.
Yeah.
Let's unpack what that $63,000 actually buys. About 53% of that capital goes directly into purchasing and installing the core revenue generators, the glamping units themselves.
And then another portion goes to the landscape, right?
Yeah, about 29% is allocated to initial property improvements to integrate the units with the environment. And the final 18% covers the branding, the digital launch on the travel platforms, and the operational setup.
Right. And when you map that modest outlay against the modeled top line figures, the dynamic becomes really clear. The framework projects an annual revenue of around 190,000 USD.
Wow.
Yeah. So that is roughly 42,000 generated from the existing main house and approximately 147,000 generated by the four newly introduced glamping units.
And subtracting the operating costs, that brings the projected stabilized operating profit to roughly 140,000 to 150,000 USD.
Right.
But the revenue is only half the story here, because the real strategic insight lies in the valuation framework. The current estimated asset value of the underlying property is around 1 million USD. However, under successful operational stabilization, the hospitality valuation scenarios reach approximately 1.5 million to 1.9 million USD.
Right. And to understand how a $63,000 capital expenditure can unlock half a million to nearly $1 million in new asset value, we really have to look at the mechanics of commercial capitalization rates.
It's a totally different logic than buying a house.
Fundamentally different. In traditional residential real estate, you know, a property is generally valued based on comparable neighborhood sales. But in the commercial hospitality sector, an income-producing asset is valued strictly by its net operating income.
The math completely changes.
Exactly. By injecting that $63,000 to activate a functional hospitality business, the asset transitions from a static piece of real estate into an income-producing platform. The valuation is calculated by dividing that stabilized operating profit by a market capitalization rate.
So what are the models using for cap rates here?
The models utilize a cap rate logic of between 10% and 8%. In plain English, if you are generating $140,000 in pure profit and the market applies an 8% cap rate, the math dictates an asset value of $1.75 million. You are effectively applying a multiplier to every dollar of profit you generate through phased value creation.
Okay, wait. A $63,000 initial outlay to drive asset value up toward $1.9 million sounds incredibly efficient on a spreadsheet. Almost too efficient.
Sure, models always look great on paper.
Right, so where is the operational friction in these models? If the yield is this high, what threatens that margin in the real world?
Well, the friction lies entirely in the execution. To achieve those margins, the financial framework factors in significant annual operating expenses. You're looking at needing flawless digital and operational execution.
Which brings us to competitive differentiation. The model requires El Chante to maintain an average daily rate of roughly $167 to $222 USD. How does a canvas tent or a dome justify a $200 a night price tag in this regional market?
It achieves that premium through absolute, uncompromising adherence to its experiential branding. In the modern experience economy, you are no longer simply selling a bed and a roof.
Right.
You are selling visual storytelling. You are selling a highly curated aesthetic and the perception of exclusivity. El Chante's differentiation is anchored in its low density, the luxury of space, and strict privacy.
And when you dig into the regional data, higher average daily rates in the Chapala corridor are highly correlated with very specific physical features. Properties commanding $200 a night feature private terraces, outdoor soaking features, and premium nature integration.
Exactly. It's boutique positioning. It is a hospitality product engineered specifically for the psychological desires of the modern traveler.
And that physical engineering must translate perfectly to the digital space, right?
Absolutely. Modern experiential lodging performance is ruthlessly dictated by digital presentation. Your OTA visibility on the major platforms, Airbnb, Booking.com, and your visual storytelling determines your booking velocity. Guest perception is everything.
But the experiential lodging space, glamping in particular, is gaining inventory rapidly. Everyone sees these high yields. What prevents a competitor from simply acquiring a cheap parcel of land a few miles away, throwing up five or six canvas tents, and undercutting El Chante's $200 rate by offering rooms at $90 tonight?
That is the classic race to the bottom risk. But the moat protecting a project like this is the sheer difficulty of executing true visual hospitality design. A competitor can certainly buy a cheap tent, but they cannot easily replicate a meticulously curated experiential environment.
It comes down to algorithmic survival.
Precisely. If a competitor throws up a cheap tent on cheap land, the demographic changes. If the climate control fails or the lighting feels sterile, the guest experience is ruined. In the digital travel economy, a few bad reviews will trigger the platform algorithms to bury that listing. They are effectively wiped off the map.
So the moat is its comprehensive investment in design and its integration with the existing luxury infrastructure.
Right. It provides an institutional-grade hospitality experience that protects the reviews, which in turn protects algorithmic visibility. El Chante is truly a hospitality experience designed for the modern experiential travel economy.
And because that digital and operational execution must remain flawless to protect the algorithm, the project purposefully avoids trying to build everything at once.
Which is exactly why the phased growth strategy is so critical.
Let's break that down. The strategy is broken into three distinct progressive stages, right?
Yes. And this structure should reassure any institutional observer, as it fundamentally relies on an operational proof of concept before requiring further capital exposure. Stage one is initial activation.
So using the existing main house and the first few glamping units.
Exactly. You utilize those to validate the regional demand, confirm the pricing tolerance, and firmly establish your presence on the digital platforms. You prove the economics work in reality.
And once stage one is stabilized,
then you transition into stage two, hospitality enhancement. This is where the strategy becomes self-sustaining. You begin reinvesting the generated operational cash flow directly back into the asset.
Ah, so adding things like wellness amenities based on guest feedback.
Right. Upgrading landscaping, installing those premium outdoor soaking features, you're enhancing the product using its own revenue. And finally, stage three provides long-term expansion optionality.
So once the brand is fully stabilized, you have the option to introduce more permanent structures or host larger scale events.
Precisely. The underlying philosophy here is essential. The project is about building a hospitality asset progressively rather than forcing aggressive upfront development. It prioritizes flexibility and gradual scaling.
It's essentially self-funding its own evolution. You validate the market with the initial activation and then use the asset's own cash flow to build out phase two and three, protecting the downside through risk-controlled development.
That is exactly the point. It systematically eliminates the risks associated with traditional resort development.
So as we synthesize this entire framework, what does this actually mean for you, the strategic observer?
Well, from an institutional investment perspective, the final message should be incredibly clear. El Chante must not be evaluated as merely a piece of real estate or a vacation property.
It operates on a completely different paradigm.
It does. It is a dynamic hospitality platform.
Yeah.
It is an experiential asset and really a scalable boutique hospitality opportunity positioned squarely within the evolving experience economy.
It's an incredibly compelling structural model. And as we wrap up this executive briefing, I want to leave you with a final thought to analyze. Take a hard look at the architecture of your own investment portfolio.
That's a great exercise.
Ask yourself, how much of your capital is still rigidly tied up in the legacy index funds of the commercial real estate world? How much of your yield is dependent on massive, slow-moving, high-density assets?
Assets that might not align with where consumer behavior is actually heading.
Exactly. How much of your portfolio is actually positioned to capture the rapidly shifting psychology of the modern consumer, the traveler who increasingly places a premium on highly curated, intensely private, nature-integrated experiences?
Because those macroeconomic winds have definitely shifted.
They have. And the assets that are agile enough to adapt to this new psychological landscape are the platforms that will capture the outsized hospitality yields of the next decade.
The transition from static real estate into dynamic income-producing experiential platforms is not a fleeting trend. It is a permanent structural evolution.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive. We will see you on the next one.